welcome to the Lights of the Night. This is Russ Johnson, and we have as guests today on this, what is it, February 17th, 2024, that we're going into a real serious year for what I can understand about what's going to happen this year. We are been doing a lot of things on Gaia and cosmic connections and looking at George Norway and listening to other podcasts like Stephen Greer has a podcast. Then we have Exopolitics by Michael Seller. Then there's Billy Carson. And it goes on and on and on. A lot of things are happening out there and a lot of people talking about 2024. And since Gillian Green has been on the planet several times. I mean, we go back 100,000 years, I may say, back to Atlantis. She's incarnated many, many times. A clairvoyant from UK. And she's been on the program a number of times. And she has a great insight in terms of human beings and their place in the galaxy, their place on this planet Earth. And that's what we want to talk about today. Gillian, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Russell. It's nice to talk to you again. It's been a while. So thank you for having me.
Oh, listen, we need your help. What's going on planet Earth 2024? Things happening all over the place, the Gaza Strip, UK, I mean, Russia.
All of this is going on, and we know that this planet is run by a cabal of people who don't necessarily have we basic humans' interest at heart. So there is a lot to be argued about that, and we know all the conspiracy theories. That's not really what I want to go to today. What I want to say is this, that my personal latest information from my off-planet friends is that things are really breaking through. The light is finally starting to break through to the darkness that has surrounded this planet now, really, since the Middle Ages. We have not made true spiritual progress since about the 14th century. And we've been in this darkening, ever-darkening place where the control has been so much in the wrong hands, in the hands of evildoers. And right now, it is truly the Armageddon that we have all been anticipating for so long, since biblical times. But the Armageddon is maybe not going to be what people think, because my thought on it is that it really is taking place right now, all over this planet, every single day, among people's homes, their families, their individual selves, and nations across the planet. We are in a fight for that which is right. We're in a fight for that which is good and true. And the danger for us at this time really is that there are, among this lightning effect, there are so many people who are, quite frankly, serving their own interests, seeking power in a different way, not political power, but spiritual power over others. And there are so many charlatans out there making things up which are not true. So I think that if I want to give a watchword for every individual at the moment, it is practice discernment. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. If somebody is promising you ascension in 5 lessons, don't hand over your money to learn, because it's not true. There are so many charlatans out there, and right now the danger is that those who want political power in the planet, those who want to control the three-dimensional reality, are already doing so. They won that battle long, long ago. It's been in their hands to control humanity for a very long time, at least in our country here in America, at least since the end of the Second World War. The military-industrial complex took over everything, and we have been totally controlled since then. So forget about that 3D reality. The real fight right now is a spiritual fight, that the dark side is working through those pretending to offer insight, lightness, brightness, and offer you things like raising your consciousness and enlightening you and helping you to ascension. Make sure that the beings who are trying to tell this to you are genuine and are real. And if they are new to the game, they are very likely to be not quite correct. You need to examine everything with an extremely discerning eye. This is a really important time for humanity to fight for your soul's right. And it is your right as a soul. Your right to have a pristine planet called Earth in which you can reincarnate over and over again to learn the lessons that you want to learn for the benefit and expansion of your own soul. And so be on guard for the charlatans. And I believe, and you can correct me, Russell, if I'm wrong here, but I believe somewhere in the Bible, probably in Revelations, it warns you, in these end times, be on the lookout for false prophets. And right now, they're turning up ten a penny. And I will give you a clear example of what I mean about this. My history is pure Anunnaki. There's very little I don't know about the Anunnaki, right? But this I will tell you, that there was a man on this planet called Zechariah Sitchin who wrote a whole slew of books about the Anunnaki. And his books were exact translations of archaeological material that is extant on the planet today. It's real. It's not imaginary. It's actually written in stone or on clay tablets. And he was one of the few scholars in the world who was able to translate this Sumerian writing. And he put it into all his books. He did not give opinions. He did not arrive at conclusions until his very last two or three books. All his early books are exact translations. And according to Spirit, they were 98% accurate translations. So you can take it as they're correct. They're telling the truth. Now, this good man who was brilliant at what he did died fairly recently, just 3 or 4 years ago. He left this planet. And since then, the absolute internet, YouTube, podcasts, you name it, have been flooded with would-be experts on the Anunnaki who are writing all kinds of nonsense, which is simply not true. They have aligned themselves, they've picked pieces out of Sitchin's writing, and suddenly they have become the experts that are replacing him. I want to say to you that 90% of them are making it up as they go along. So this is what I'm talking about. Use your discernment. Make sure that those you are listening to or reading about, make sure that they have some credibility and that you can trust them. And when you get new information concerning your future, your soul, and the direction you need to go in to bring light into your life, then when you get that information, take it within yourself, meditate on it, pray on it if you like, and wait until Spirit gives you the insight to know whether it's true or not true. This is very important at this time. The recognizing and discerning false information from truth is the single most important thing we can be doing right now, because in the three-dimensional reality that we are all living in, when it comes to politics and wars and rumors of wars and so on and so forth, There is nothing out there but lies. None of it is the truth. Nothing you see on the news, nothing they put forward in the media. It's all misinformation designed to keep you quiet or take you in another way that they want you to go, to control you, in other words. It's not the truth. There is very little truth to be found in the 3D reality at this time. You have to go within your own heart and soul to find what is true.
All right. Let me get some specifics. Your husband, George Green, who left here not too long ago, and he was seriously involved in helping people to understand
yes.
what what is needed in terms of their development, in terms of their ascension. He left a website called nohoax.net, of which he left a lot of materials there. He also, you have written three books, one of which was ETA, right, the Future Tale. The other one was, what was that?
Oh, these are, you're talking about the ones I wrote.
Yes.
ETA, Challenge of the Dove, and
okay.
Violet Flame Meditations. So, yeah, I couldn't think.
All right. Well, that's right. So, on that website, there he left a lot of material.
Yes.
So, if one were to go to that material and begin to peruse it, do some analysis, discernment, then you would get closer to the truth. Is that a good statement to make?
Well, what the books you mentioned that I wrote are not about the same things that George was doing. George's main goal was to waken people up to the reality of what was happening on this planet. So his work was almost entirely geared to the political side of things, except the handbooks, Handbook for the New Paradigm and Becoming, these books, he was dictated by two beings who claimed to be Pleiadians. And they asked him, would he publish the books for them, which he did. So those are the things that George wrote that were designed to be helpful to people. And they had some interesting information in them. But they were nothing to do with me. That was entirely George.
All right. If I may, I'm trying to get a little clarity because there's so much information. I mean, I look at Billy Carson. He has a website called Forbidden Knowledge, a podcast has hundreds of thousands of people listening to him on a day-by-day basis. Mm. Then you have Dr. Stephen Greer. He's all over the place with his Unacknowledged, that documentary, has 700 million people who have viewed it up until this point. Then the last one he wrote, he could complete it, if I may, is The Lost Century. It's said that 1 billion people will watch that. I don't know if you watched any of it at all.
Yeah, I haven't watched it, but I know his work. I know him.
Okay.
I mean, when I say I know him, I did one or two radio shows with him at one time years ago. And yes, he is very genuine and very accurate and has great information. So if he's done something new, I'm sure it's worth watching.
Okay. And then, of course, let me do this. George, I know, concentrated on the political side of the UFO crashes and
right
abductions, et cetera, but he did talk about the Christ soul process a bit, and I just like to play that, and you can comment a couple of minutes. That's all.
I mean, that's got me in trouble in Billy.
I presume that you are not in a position to help us meet Billy.
No, well, Billy doesn't want to meet anybody. You already met somebody.
My impression.
What's his name down at supposedly his liaison might be.
Yeah, we did.
But I don't know if he'd help you or not either. But, you know, Billy...
No, I know Michael, you know...
Michael Horn?
Yeah, well, I know Michael.
You know, they got...
Tried, but we haven't...
No, I published a Talmud of Emmanuel over there, and they got all mad about that because I didn't put the German in it. Yeah, I don't know if you understand the original. When I got the Talmud, we had a college kid translated from that high German, that Schweizer Deutsch, into English. And my wife and I took the documents over. I mean, this is even another more strange. We just took the documents over here, and we immediately, I sent out a whole bunch of copies to people. One of them was to a guy named, he's in California, I'm going to his name on that thing. Anyway, he reprinted it, and they changed some stuff around. Well, he was channeling so-called Hatton, and the information we got was that was really good stuff. And I dropped $500,000 and got a divorce, actually about $1 million, and got a divorce over that thing because we thought they were really connected with, you know, that group, and it turned out to be a big swindle.
Oh, man.
Anyway, they published the Talmud their version of it. Well, my wife and Jim Deardorff worked on it for 2 years. Well, now we got another problem that stepped in. That was my ex-wife. I've only been married a few months, just so you know. But my ex-wife and I, we spent 20 years going running around the world, you know, playing the game. But when we met Billy over there, we kind of made agreements together. Well, what was the problem with the Talmud? That was the teachings of Emmanuel or Christ, right? Well, where did Christ go and where is he now? Well, we became in contact. Now that stops the whole story again, doesn't it? With the Christ being Emmanuel, who calls himself Sananda right now. Then we got the information on the translation of the Talmud, so then we did it. And we said, why do we want to put the German down? Because Billy wasn't responsible for that. That was the Greek priest, Rashid, who did the translation from Aramaic into Swissy Deutsch. There wasn't any copyright. It wasn't Billy's anyway in the first place. So what we did is then we were working on doing the translations. Then we were in contact directly with the Christ being energy. It's kind of like what I did, the Nostradamus material with Dolores Cannon. You familiar with her?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I didn't know you did that.
Dolores Cannon couldn't talk to anybody. She was stutterer all the time. And she sent me the manuscript. I so read the manuscript, and I told Desiree, I says, you know, this is pretty interesting. Let's check it out. So we made a contract. We published Dolores Cannon's first book, Conversations with Nostradamus, Volume 1 and Volume 2. I then set it up because we had a place in Beverly Hills. We got NBC and CBS to do our features on it.
And she exploded all across the country in terms of the conference calls, then the seminars she did all across the world. And I think she wrote after that another 18 books before she left, and she was really noted for a special brand of hypnotherapy to take people back in time to understand past lives, and she left us a couple of years ago. So would you tell people to go look at her material, if I may, because we're trying to have some discernment here.
To go and look at what? Yes? Dolores Cannon's material?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking me? No, I wouldn't.
Yes.
No, let me say
this,
Russell. It's okay to read it, and the Nostradamus material is very interesting to read. But it was gained through hypnosis from other people. And, you know, our minds are interesting things. It's amazing how suggestive they are. And I never trust past life memories of anybody, whether they're under hypnosis. I don't trust my own because our mind makes things the way we want them to be in the here and now.
Okay.
Something, anything to do with past life hypnosis and past life memories that are got through hypnosis, I don't recommend. That's not getting information for yourself. What I'm suggesting people do is either pray or meditate, however they perceive it, go into their own space, their own selves, and ask themselves. Anything that you do from these other people, you are living vicariously. It's not your experience, it's their experience. And what I want people to do is have their own experience. And that's what George was trying to do. You know, there were many things that George and I, we loved one another dearly, but we didn't always agree on everything, right? Naturally. No two people do, I think. But the one thing I do have always supported with George is that he wanted people to find out for themselves. And that was really the whole of his message, explaining to them, this is the reality you live in. Now go and research the truth for yourself. So if a person is an intellectual, they need to research the truth through documentation that is extant and can be found, a lot of it, in the writings of Dr. Michael Sala, as you know. The whole, military complex thing, industrial military complex thing, is well laid out in Dr. Sala's books and very well documented. So you can actually see the documents that were signed by presidents and so on and know that it is correct. This is what happened. So if you're an intellectual, find out through academia, find out through written material that is extant on the planet. If you are more spiritually inclined, then expand your ability to meditate, to bring in your own visionary experiences, to have, make your own connection with your extraterrestrial friends and off-the-planet friends. If you're, you know, in the religious mode, guardian angels, I don't care what you call people or how you connect with them, but make it your connection, not what somebody else is telling you. Not what I'm telling you or George is telling you or anybody else is telling you. Find out for yourself. And I will say this as a cautionary note. This is your last chance. And I mean that.
Why?
We are coming to the end of us. We are rapidly, rapidly coming to the end of the time cycle for this branch, if you like, of humanity. Now, everybody who knows the least thing about anthropology or archaeology knows that there have been many human species on this planet historically for millions of years. We are newcomers on the block. We, as Homo sapiens sapiens, have only been on this planet 6,000 years in our self-controlling, advanced level of intelligence that we have. We are the new kids on the block. And as such, we are running out of time because events in the cosmos are in process of, can I say something like upgrading or changing or evolving? Any way you can think of where change is coming that is opening new opportunities. But in order to flow with those opportunities, in order to move forward with the rest of creation, you have to claim your own immortality. You have to fight for it. You have to hold the light within yourself. You have to be light. Let no darkness in your life. Let no dark thoughts, words, or deeds be part
All right.
of your
Explain
existence.
The light.
Just be the light.
Explain the light. Okay,
yes.
Explain the light. What light should we be looking for? Help us out.
The light within ourselves. It's in us. It's the divine spark of creation that was allotted to each soul in the beginning of creation. Whenever the source created everything that exists, everything that is, then part of that divine source was, if you like, handed out to each individual soul to enlighten you, to enliven you, to give you life. And the possibility of that life is immortality. What was it that Christ did? We hear so much of religion. Christ died on the cross to save us. Christ did it. That's the story that the religious made up to control the people, right? That's not what Christ did. Of importance, how he died, where he died, when he died, is irrelevant. What is important was that he mastered death. He overcame death. He did not die. And he said over and over again to anybody who would listen, I'm telling you, everything I can do, and you can do more than me. I'm just giving you a demonstration of what is possible for a human being born of a woman on this planet, which is what Christ was, right? He was born fully human, but he had all the gifts of a greater being, a God, if you like. And those gifts he taught to his disciples and to anybody who would listen. And he told people, I'm giving you this gift. I'm telling you, you can do what I do. And you can do more than me. And what I'm demonstrating to you, by letting these hooligans of people kill me, what I am demonstrating clearly is that you can master death. You can become immortal. And this is possible for every soul. Every soul has this potential. And now is the time to claim that potential. Now, do you have to be able to do it? No, you don't. You just have to have the intention of doing it. You have to be striving for it. You have to want it. It has to be your soul's desire that you get immortality as your gift. And then you can have it. Then it's yours.
I see. It sounds pretty easy the way you explain it. It is easy.
But, and I'll tell you why it is easy. Because whoever and whatever these great beings of the universe are, who give us these gifts, who create us in the beginning and who are totally unknown and unknowable to us with our little finite minds, right? They have made it easy because they have told me quite clearly and distinctly, it's not that you have to be able to do it to keep moving you forward. It is that you have to understand the principle of what it is you are trying to do. And once you understand what you are trying to do, in other words, claim your immortality, then that's good enough. That gets you to the next level. Like these kids who are in gaming things and they have to move up levels with their little computers. Oh, I'm gaming. I've got so many points. I can move up a level. The game gets harder. The mountain gets steeper and you have to keep climbing. It doesn't suddenly magically end where you go to some imaginary heaven and sit on a cloud. That's never going to happen, right? What happens, though, is that if while you are here, you make the effort to, with all your mind, heart, and soul, to claim your immortality, to align yourself with the great immortal beings like Jesus Christ, then you can move up to the next level. Will you have gained mastery in this particular life? Probably not. I shouldn't think any of us, certainly nobody I know is going to do it, right? But it moves us up to the next level. And that allows us to continue learning until one day we will have learned and we will have mastery over life and death, as Christ told us we can have.
Does Michael Sullivan address that in any of his books? Michael Sullivan.
Dr. Michael Sullivan. My favorite is the Antarctica books, of course.
Okay, of course. And we want to talk. In a minute, I'll come back to that. But in terms of the saving one's soul, does he address any of it in his podcast, The Exopolitics? Does he address that issue?
I don't know. I haven't listened to it.
Okay. How about Michael Ledwith in his book, Saving Jesus?
Michael Ledwith, his book, Saving Jesus. The book is called Saving Jesus. It's a big, fat book. And he actually tells you this, what this process is and how to do it. He's the only writer I have ever come across who doesn't just tell you these things are possible, you know, if you meditate, you can do this. No, he doesn't give you a load of BS like so many of them do. He actually walks you through the process that takes you to the point where you can actually do it, meaning that which Christ can do, you can do and more. He takes you to
that's
the point
John.
Where you can do it.
Yeah, that's in John 14:12, if people want to look at that. And it could be in other places, but I remember John 14:12, that Jesus said, all the things I have done, you can do and more. That's a big statement, because what are some of the things that he did? I mean, they're the parables and the Sermon on the Mount and all that. But give us in a nutshell the things that he came
to
do.
He mastered death. That's what he did. He demonstrates his ability with the story of Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus, right? He raises Lazarus from the dead. And the centurion's daughter, the centurion asked Christ to go and heal his daughter, the centurion's servant. I mean, I'm no bibliophile, so you know that. You know I'm not a Bible person, but I do know some of these things. The centurion's servant runs from the house and says, don't waste the master's time because your daughter is already dead. And Christ says, no, she's just sleeping. And he goes and brings her back to life. So he was master of life and death. And he demonstrated that in those two stories that I know of in the Bible, but he also demonstrated it in his own life, in the resurrection. And, you know, it astounds me that people who are Christians, in other words, they claim they follow Christ, don't follow his most essential teachings, which tell them, you can do everything I did. That's what he's saying. And he doesn't just say it that once in John. Somewhere he says it three times. This was his single most important message to the people that he was teaching, the disciples. The single most important thing he was telling them was that message. Everything I do, you can do, and more. In other words, there is no limit to the possibilities. In other words, you become creative.
Okay, and innovative. It's hard for people, I think the majority of the people who are trained and raised and cultured in the Catholic, Protestant, Episcopal, AME Church, Seventh-day Adventist, the Church of the LDS, Latter-day Saints, it's hard for people to think in those real terms when they've been told that you should have the fear of death, you have the right to murder, and also they provide sexual suppression and all of that, and those teachings. How can you overcome all of that?
Well, it's personal choice, Russell. I was raised in the Anglican Church of England, a very high church. It's essentially the Anglo-Catholic Church of England. And I was raised with parents who went to church. We went three times, as a family, we went three times on a Sunday. I was all the way through high school, through Sunday school and church school, baptized and whatchamacallit, confirmed in the church by the bishop. I went through all that. And by the time I was 16, I'm saying, yeah, but that's not what my intelligence tells me. That can't be right. So I started asking the questions. Now, it's true that I was born a clairvoyant, and I also innately know a lot of things that maybe other people are not so familiar with. And I always had connection with extraterrestrials, which not everybody chooses to have. So in that, maybe I had an advantage. And I also was born without loss of memory. So I remember tens of thousands of years of human history. But still, the last 4,000 years, I have reincarnated as a human, normal human being on this planet over and over again. And I have been brainwashed, just like everybody else, into the Christian religion. I have actually spent three lifetimes in convents, one in a Carmelite house, two in Benedictine houses. So I am really, really imbued. And that's what Michael Ledbeth did for my brain at this point in time, when even though I know all these other things, I still have that brainwashing deep in my subconscious. And I had never thought about it, never considered it a block in my understanding until I read Michael Ledbeth. And right at the end, it suddenly hit me. My gosh, I know what he's talking about. He's talking about this being in my subconscious for the last 2,000 years of Christian brainwashing, which, you know, as you know, the subconscious is stronger than the conscious mind. And so when your conscious mind knows something and can recognize and say, well, this is true or this is not true, your subconscious is going to override that if it doesn't agree with you. And so I had this constant thing going on in my head that all these connections and knowledge I have for thousands and thousands of years of history and the universe and so on and so forth, as a clairvoyant, at the same time I had the human history of brainwashing through the Christian religion. And by the way, I want to say this as well, although it may offend a lot of people, what we know as the Christian religion has nothing to do with Christ. It is the Pauline religion. St. Paul reorganized and helped to choose, more than anybody else, what would constitute the Christian religion. And the Christian religion has very little to do with, maybe less than 15% of it is to do with Christ and what Christ taught. And if you use a discerning eye when you are reading the New Testament, you will come to realize that. For instance, right in the first century, and I was just reading about this recently, there was a religious following from somebody called, I think he was called Marcion, a Roman called Marcion. And he had organized an early Christian church less than 100 years after the time of Christ. And he was thriving in the Middle East. He was spreading like wildfire for one reason. He was telling people that Christ brought a new religion and made a new covenant with his people, namely humans. That's what Christ says. If you actually read the New Testament, you will see that Christ tells you, I'm bringing you a new covenant, a new covenant. I'm not here to denounce or deny the Old Testament of the Jews, and I'm not tearing that down. I am simply bringing you a new covenant and a new belief structure. Now, the interesting thing about that is that you are no longer, if you separate the two, if you separate the old Judaic Old Testament and say, okay, that's their religion. Now, the new covenant with Christ is what's in the New Testament and is a new religion, nothing to do with the Old Testament. Then you take out Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, or Jehovah, right? Whatever you want to call him, the Yod-Heh-Voh-Heh of the Old Testament. Then you take that God out of the picture. And it is that old God that is the wrathful vengeance, eye for an eye God of the Old Testament, who was actually one of the extraterrestrials who was on the planet from the time of the pre-flood, long before Christ, obviously. And Yahweh, in Anunnaki terms, is representative, or is the God, small g, very small g God. The people called them gods, but they weren't. They were just Anunnaki. He is the Enlil. He was the commander of Earth for thousands and thousands of years. In the Old Testament, they make him the God, Yahweh, or Jehovah, and they ultimately settled, I think, on the name Jehovah, but it's the same person. It's Yod-Heh-Voh-Heh of the Old Testament, the Jewish testaments. And he was the one who, when the great flood was coming and the ice caps were melting, the Anunnaki knew this, and they held a great council. And Enlil was the one who voted powerfully to let humans drown. He said, then they're spreading like wildfire. They are too noisy. I'm sick of them. We made a mistake developing them to this level of intelligence. Let them all drown. Let them go. And we'll start over. Now, that's the God that you worship when you worship the God of the Old Testament, the one who wanted to drown all humanity. So no wonder people fear the God. He's not a good guy by any measure of means.
Wow. So I think Billy Carson addresses that issue on his podcast, and that's the number 4 bidden knowledge that he has, that, and he has hundreds of thousands of people listening to him on a week-by-week basis. I'm just trying to keep it as simple as I can, and in the next 15 minutes, trying to give people some direction, and you have done that through Sakurai Sitchin, you think, also through Michael Letwith, the book Saving Jesus, and Sitchin's book, The 12th Planet. Does he also understand what you understand in terms of who people are? I mean, that we do have everlasting life, that we are infinite beings. We can come and go. That, of course, it's not taught in any churches that I know, that we can be born again, that we can leave this life and keep
your
soul and come back again.
I used to do a half-day workshop on reincarnation at one time when I was younger. And and sometimes people would say to me, but what if we don't believe in reincarnation? I would say, I don't care whether you believe in it or not. I'm telling you, when you die, you'll find out. Yes, you're going to have to come back. Yes, you're going to have to reincarnate at some point. But in reality, the average time, thinking in terms of Earth time, the average time between incarnations seems to be around 100,000 to 150,000 Earth years before you generally come back. Now, that's not always true. Some people come back very quickly for a variety of reasons, and it usually causes them a lot of problem. They usually end up with some kind of mental issues because they, for instance, a lot of young men who died in the First World War, they are now back on the planet. They've been back a long time. Because they were so young when they died, they wanted to get back to life, and so they grabbed at anybody that was given to them, body, physical body, that they had the chance of, and they took it, you know? They didn't do all their lessons in between whiles. And I have met and had several of them as clients needing help because they can't control their flashbacks. Or they have, like, is it PTSD that soldiers get after war? That they suffer greatly from that because of their experiences in World War One, and they never balanced their emotions. They never got it in order before they came back to this planet. And many of them ended up then in World War Two. You know, they were just old enough to die in one war, come back and go and have to fight another war. Especially a lot of them came back and were found themselves in the Vietnam War, America's Vietnam War. So they've had, not staying out of body long enough is a real problem. You need time to assimilate the life you've had and understand what you learned from it before you embark on another one. But there is great help and guidance on the other side for everybody. You know, you're not just left on your own. You have plenty of people to help.
And they said, we have guides as we walk around on Earth, but the guides are around us. Is that true?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
How did we get in touch with those guides that we have around us?
Well, mostly it depends on what your basic belief structure is. But essentially, you have to, everything about enlightenment or moving forward or preparing for ascension, or however you want to think of it, everything is about self-discipline, because everything that is vibrating at a frequency. And these beings exist on their own frequency, which is not the same as our frequency. It's a little bit different. Not that much different, but a little bit different. And so we have to be self-disciplined enough in our form that we have now to be able to reach up towards them, and they can then reach down towards us and we can connect. In an emergency, they can break through to us regardless of the state of our frequency. But if we want true connection, we have to make the effort to lift our quit. And I know you're going to ask me, how do you do that? Well, it's really simple. I doubt if anybody today who's read anything about the New Age in the last 30 or 40 years has not heard of the chakras, right? Everybody knows about the chakras. And
seven of them.
There are some kind of silly people who say, oh, you have to overcome your chakras. Well, you don't. Your chakras are where the five senses are seated throughout your life's experience. You know, they're your sensory adjudicators, if you like, and they go all the way up through your body and out of the top of your head. You have spiritual connection up there. So what you have to do is start at the lowest frequency, which is your root chakra. the root chakra is about survival. And you have to make your life less about your own survival and more about helping the survival of others. Then you move up to your next chakra and so on and so forth. And as you move up each chakra, you have to take its job, take what it's doing. For instance, the solar plexus is your power chakra, where you control all the power and energy that you exchange with this world, the power that makes you powerful in business, in argument, in things of nature, right? Power. And you have to turn that power from things of this world to things of the spirit. You have to teach your chakras to transcend the mundane and move into their fulfillment as spiritual chakras. Now, when they are all rotating as spiritual connected chakras rather than earth connected chakras, then you are ready for the next step, which is connection with your angelic teachers, your spirit guides, your friends off planet, whatever, your dear departed. You just move into their realm. Your mind becomes capable of moving into their realm, of connecting with them, of talking to them. So it really is simple. It's not a hard thing, you know.
But who's teaching the chakras? I never studied the chakras. I mean, I've been to five colleges.
I'm saying to you is pick up a little book that describes the chakras, any little chakra book that tells you what the seven chakras in the body are and the ones above that, the crown and spiritual chakras. Just read what they are. Imagine them in your mind, like survival, creation, which is sex, power, heart, throat, third eye, and crown. Imagine, get located where they are in your body. Find a little picture of them somewhere. I even drew one in that book of mine. I think I did it in the meditation book, how to meditate on it. And then you start mentally transcending them. In other words, your thoughts become more spiritual and less mundane. Your thoughts control everything that you do. How you think is how you are. You know, how you eat is how your body is. And how you think is how the rest of you is.
I see.
You become your thoughts.
Always... Right. You are what you eat, and you become what you think.
Yes. Yes, uh-huh. Exactly.
All right.
So if you keep your thoughts on the light and on the experience of light, if you keep moving forward to that idea of the creation, the universe, the light, the joy of it, because it is entirely unconditionally loving and joyful.
Uh-huh.
The transcendent experience of connecting with the source is one of transcendental joy.
I see.
It's incredible, and it's light. It's pure light.
At one point you talked about how important it is for humans to even come to the earth and how difficult it is and how wonderful it is to be able to come here, and that other entities and other vast parts of the universe who want to come don't always get a chance to come. Could you talk about that for the next couple of minutes?
Okay. The reason that Earth is so unique, truly special in our great universe, is because we are separated from one another, meaning that our souls and our minds are not connected. We all have a language of speech, verbal language, where we communicate, and even the languages are no longer one language. They were muddled up so that we couldn't even understand each other when we speak. But certainly our minds don't connect. Now, in the majority of places in the universe where species have evolved to a high level, usually technologically, right, when they've evolved to that high level, they use telepathy more than verbal speech as a means of communication. because we do not use telepathy on Earth as a normal means of communication, right, we are separated from one another. And that means that when our lives present us with choices, and we have to make those choices at soul level, they are absolutely individual choices to us. In other words, we are not connected to other people who can know what we're thinking. So we make choices based on our own thoughts, our own minds, and our own ideas. And that's where we have the unique opportunity for expanding our awareness and our soul's growth. That's where we have the chance to move forward towards enlightenment. If you had telepathy and everybody knew what you were thinking, you would always try to do that which would meet the approval of everybody else. Therefore, your choices would never be intrinsically honest and objectively made. But by being cut off from everyone else, you make honest choices guided by your own thoughts and nobody else's. And that is the measure of your spiritual growth. Your spontaneous response, your choice in any situation that is spontaneous, is that which measures your soul's level of enlightenment.
I see.
It's not your knowledge, not the things you know, not how much praying you do or going to church you do or anything else. That doesn't mean anything. What tells who you are spiritually is the choices you make in life. And that's why this life is so precious to us, because it gives us this chance of enlightenment. And this is why all these other beings from other places try to get here, try to get bodies on Earth and live on Earth, because there is nowhere else in the universe that I've ever heard of, anywhere, that gives this
right.
opportunity.
So it's a privilege to be here, and for those of us who have made it through. How does a person determine why they came? How do you grab onto your purpose, your goals, your objectives?
I just told you why you came. You came to learn honest choices.
I see.
You came to learn to choose. That's what everybody is doing on this planet, learning to choose. The path you would take in order to learn how to make those choices, that is your fate, if you like, your destiny. It's something that you choose as you go along. A plan is made before you get here. You choose that plan. You try to walk that path because your soul knows what the plan is, but you don't in your brain, right? But whether you actually stick to that path and evolve is the choices that you make. It's all your own choice and your own responsibility, every single bit of it. And everything that happens to you in life is your own fault and nobody else's, always.
All right. So your materials we talked about are on that website, nohoax.net. So there are a lot of materials that George left that reference all the stuff that you've been talking to about the Zachariah sessions and one's development of soul on this planet. Really appreciate you being here to help us with that. That's a big...
Well, thank you for having me.
It's a big one. It's a big one for us to get over, to understand. So, again, I appreciate you being here today. And any comments you want to make in the next couple
Just
seconds?
Thank you, and God bless you. Everybody who's listening, and if you ask your angelic friends on the other side of this life to help you, they will always be glad to do so. Even if you're not aware of it, they will open doors for you in life that lead you on the path you want to go or need to go, if you give them permission. So ask them,
okay.
Please show me what I need to know. Thank you.
Thank you. So always ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For that's what we have as a growth process. Thank you very much for it. And nice having you again. And we'll be back in touch. So you've been listening to bbsradio.com/lights in the night with Russ Johnson and Jillian Green. Thank you for listening and have a good one.